From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Thursday, February 20th, 2025. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Hey there yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. You can ask anybody, they'll tell you. And we need to get this this big blogcast launched properly. Let's do it with
the Daily Datagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. I like this. It says, those who say it can't be done are usually interrupted by those doing it.
Yep,
yep, yep. Thereby leaving the naysayer to come up with excuses.
This will not look good on a resume!
Let's move along now with the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted History.
Here we go.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Oh, I know.
Some cool, some not so cool.
It's exciting.
Just the same. You need to know your Twisted History.
If you say so.
You might be quizzed.
Yeah. That's a threat we've been living with for how long now? All right, kids, it was on this day in 1931, the U.S. Congress approved the construction of the San Francisco-Oakland Bay Bridge by the state of California. It opened about 6 years later. It's a pretty neat bridge. You get a great, kind of a breathtaking view taking that bridge in either direction. I like the view from Oakland going west over to San Francisco. That view's a little nicer. You know, I mean, how excited can you be going east when you know you're going to end up in Oakland? Which used to be a nice town, but it's just... The only problem with the bridge is that it takes you to Oakland. I mean, if it took you to Akron, Ohio, you'd be happier. And let's see, it was on this day in 19... Akron, Ohio? Where'd I pull that one out? All right, it was on this day in 1971, the United States emergency broadcast system was accidentally activated in an erroneous national alert. I was on the air when this happened. And here's the bizarre part of the story, okay? Take it from somebody who was there. No one believed that the emergency was legitimate. I think out of the entire country... And at the time, we had, what, 4,000 FM stations, 4,000 AMs, something like that. Only one or two radio stations triggered their emergency notifications. And then shortly after the incident, the system was redesigned and reestablished.
Yes, I can hear sets being clicked off all over this great land of ours.
As I've already said many times, this Trump administration is going so fast, it's so hard to keep up with everything they're doing. Thought you might be interested in this, though. Elon Musk wants to discuss a Doge dividend with President Trump, saying that it could potentially generate a $5,000 dividend to each taxpaying American household. Think about that. What would you do with five grand in your household? You know? So, looks like this is in the offing. It'll be interesting to see where this goes from here. Right now, it's just something that Elon Musk is kicking around in that genius head of his. Next is the Pentagon for Doge. And wow, I mean, I remember, when was that? Back in the 70s, back in the 80s, when it was found that the Pentagon was paying $600 for toilet seats. You know... The Pentagon has been no stranger to waste and fraud. And apparently now they're going to home in on that with Doge, the Department of Government Efficiency. And over in the Pentagon, they're saying, hey, we welcome this. What is their budget? $850 billion. They're saying, quote, we welcome Doge to the Pentagon. And that's a quote from Pete Hegseth. Here's what Pete Hegseth had to say with his meeting with the Pentagon personnel.
That includes a Pentagon audit, which to the Marines out there, y'all got to figure it out. And we appreciate that. Lean and mean. We are going to focus heavily to ensure that at a bare minimum, by the end of 4 years, the Pentagon passes a clean audit. The American taxpayers deserve that. They deserve to know where their $850 billion go. how it's spent and make sure it's spent wisely. It used to be that if you called for an audit, somehow you were undermining the department. I believe the exact opposite. I believe we are accountable for every dollar we spend, and every dollar of waste we find or redundancy is a dollar we can invest somewhere else, as President Trump has committed directly to rebuilding our nation's military. So rebuilding our military is key.
That was the meeting he held, what was it, a week or so ago over there in the Pentagon. They have this big auditorium over there, and he had all the key people from all the key departments in there and basically read to them what the mission statement was going to be under this administration. It was pretty good. But Hegseth also told reporters who were traveling with him in Europe that he was looking forward to working with Doge. And again, he says, we welcome Doge to the Pentagon, and I hope to welcome Elon to the Pentagon very soon and his team working in collaboration with us. There are waste, redundancies, and headcounts in headquarters that need to be addressed. Headcounts. Sounds like layoffs. I don't know. But the Defense Department has an annual budget of somewhere in the neighborhood of $850 billion and more than 3 million personnel worldwide, including civilian employees. Lots of civilian employees. That's one of the things that surprised me when I was in the Air Force and I got my first permanent duty assignment, which was a Keesler Air Force Base in Mississippi, the technical school headquarters. And I was surprised how many civilian employees, a lot of them were high-ranking civilian employees as well. Now, the nonpartisan Peter G. Peterson Foundation notes that defense spending represents nearly half of all discretionary spending in the United States, 47% in 2024. And the U.S. spends more than the next nine countries combined on defense. Now, does that include defense assistance that we're offering to foreign countries? I don't know. I wish I had a spreadsheet or something here. But as Fox News reported it, and they're pretty good, we all trust them, right? They said the Pentagon employs 3.7 million personnel with a budget exceeding $850 billion. But it has never passed an audit. Now, Tara Murphy Doherty, who's the CEO of Govini, which is a defense software company, worked for three defense secretaries going back to Robert Gates. And she says the biggest savings will be found in overhauling the decades-old weapons acquisition process, which still uses manual spreadsheets and fax machines. Quoting her, she says, I would put a big red bullseye on the process by which we manage weapon systems and military platforms. The defense acquisition process is massively broken. It's too slow. I mean, the United States is issuing missile purchases through fax machines. It's using spreadsheets and data calls in order to get nuclear-capable platforms off of production lines. So, as a result, fifth-generation stealth fighter jets, you know, like the F-35, can't get out of depot because they're missing parts, and the defense industrial base in the U.S. doesn't produce what they need. The next generation of intercontinental ballistic missiles, a key part of the nuclear triad, is $35 billion over budget. So, yeah, there are a lot of holes in the system. This can't be allowed to persist. Kind of scary stuff. Now, Doherty said a lot of weapon systems in the ships, jets, tanks, and other capabilities that the department relies on for the military have such complex supply chains that the Department of Defense doesn't actually know where all of those parts are coming from. And because they're using spreadsheets to manage the programs overall, means they have no ability to see if there are foreign suppliers, or in some cases, Chinese suppliers of critical components like microelectronics in our military systems. This is the kind of thing that Elon Musk, Doge, and the Trump administration are saying this is no longer acceptable. And that's what they're going to do to root it out. They're going to hunt all this stuff down and make things more efficient. They have no choice. They have to. Here is an interesting concept to you. I just mentioned it a few minutes ago. This is being actually kicked around right now, and that is the possibility that every tax-paying American household will get a dividend, a Doge dividend of $5,000. Now, who's behind this idea? Well, a fellow by the name of James Fishback, who is a young fella. He's a CEO of Investazoria, and he's the one calling for the Doge dividend to be given to Americans. And as he put it, the Doge dividend is a tax refund check sent to every taxpayer. Now, is this every taxpayer or tax-paying household? I don't know. We'll get into the details here in a minute, but he says it would be funded exclusively with a portion of the total savings delivered by Doge. So he made the suggestion to Elon Musk. Musk says he's going to check with the president and see if this is doable. But I have the letter, which is titled The Case for a Doge Dividend from James Fishback. And I don't know who this is addressed to. I assume the government. But anyhow, let me read you part of the letter. It says here, few in America knew precisely what to expect from Doge. The early perceived turbulence around leadership, the uncertainty around legal structure, and the lack of precedent for such a bold initiative created a sense of show me with Doge. Just a month into President Trump's second term, Doge is delivering. Full stop. With Doge reportedly achieving $1 billion in savings per day, President Trump has an opportunity to work with Congress to take Doge one step further and deliver what we at Azoria call the Doge dividend, a tax refund check to be sent after the expiration of Doge in July 2026, funded exclusively with a portion of the total savings delivered by Doge. And then he kind of outlines how Trump's Doge dividend would work. He says, number one, Doge is targeting $2 trillion in total savings. Two, take 20% of Doge's total savings, $400 billion, and return it to the 79 million U.S. households. See, says households here, that'll be net payers of federal income tax in calendar year 2025 as a tax refund check called the Doge dividend. Number three, $400 billion in Doge-driven savings divided by 79 million tax-paying households equals $5,000, a Doge dividend check per tax-paying household. Okay, so there we go. It's not every taxpayer, it's every tax-paying household. If you're single, you're a household. So he outlines some of the benefits of President Trump's Doge dividend, which he goes into further detail in the letter. I'm sure most of it would bore you. But basically, he uses terms like righting the wrong done to the taxpayer, basically explaining that over the years, over the decades, over most of our lifetimes, we have, as taxpayers, been abused. We've been taken advantage of. We have been fleeced. Hardly a news bulletin. We've known this all along. Again, I go back to those $600 toilet seats that the Pentagon was buying back in, what was it, the 80s? And then, of course, he emphasized in this letter, too, sharing the benefits of cost-cutting with the taxpayer. And his whole idea, his whole concept about a Doge dividend is really great. Every household would love to have $5,000 back. That would be terrific. But another, I don't know, this is kind of a caveat. Another thing we need to bear in mind is our tremendous national debt. Where are we now with it? Somewhere between $35 and $37 trillion. And this is up from $21 trillion back during Donald Trump's first term. With the re-election of Donald Trump, I've mentioned on a number of occasions to friends that I haven't felt this good since 1980, after Ronald Reagan was elected, you know? And, boy, it's great having Donald Trump back in the White House, and he's a far wiser man than he was the first time around. That is very clear. But there's still so much work that needs to be done. And I'll give you a good for instance. A pair of reputed migrant gangbangers were nabbed in a drug raid at a Queens, New York auto shop, only to be cut loose without bail after prosecutors reduced the charges. Now, this is according to a publication I trust, the New York Post. Jose Tamaranas Caldera, 27 years old, and Richard Garcia, 33, both tied to Trendyaragua, or as I like to call them, TDA, because it's so much easier. Trendyaragua doesn't exactly flow off the lips, especially if you're not accustomed to speaking Spanish. But they're a Venezuelan-based gang, and they were busted on felony drug and gun charges in a raid on February 5th at V&R Auto and Collision in Woodside. Now, that's over in Queens. I may have mentioned that already. And they were nabbed along with 54-year-old shop owner Rafael Nieves, according to sources and court records. Oh, yeah, there are records on this. So if you want to go back and double check the status of this thing, you know, go ahead, have at it. I think you can find just about anything you want now on the Internet regarding these arrests and these releases. And here's the thing. Once the case got to court, Queens prosecutors reduced the charges, hitting these illegal aliens with a misdemeanor count of possession of an air gun. And that apparently is what let the, is what let them walk without without bail. No bail. Now, this guy Nieves, who faced the most serious charges, had his drug and gun possession charges knocked down as well, with the new counts not eligible for bail under the state's controversial criminal justice reforms. You remember those reforms, the ones that were brought on with the help of George Soros and his son Alex. So, I don't know. A law enforcement source who spoke with the New York Post said, "These are not misguided individuals. They're documented members of a known violent criminal enterprise, a gang who's planted their flag here by entrenching themselves in narcotics, gun, and human trafficking, and the best we can do is let them out. If we did our jobs with criminals, we wouldn't have ICE surrounding, scouring our streets for detainees." Great point. Now, Tamaranas Caldera and Garcia crossed the U.S. border illegally, of course, in 2023, but were released into the country under Joe Biden's lax border policies. You remember this guy, Mayorkas, Alejandro Mayorkas? Yeah, that's the guy. So Tamaranas Caldera, who entered the U.S. with his wife and two kids, told immigration officials he would be living in Durham, North Carolina, and Garcia was supposed to stay in Savannah, Georgia. Yet here they are in Queens, New York. Immigration sources said a deportation detainer has now been placed on Garcia. Now, just what that's actually going to accomplish, though, I don't know. But according to law enforcement sources, these two illegal aliens were living at tax-funded Big Apple shelters at converted hotels, namely the Roosevelt in Manhattan and the Crown Plaza in Queens. Gee, pat yourself on the back, dear taxpayer. Look at all the do-gooding stuff you're doing. So, following the February 5th raid on the Queens Auto Shop, all three were charged with gun and drug possession after cops found a Glock handgun and a large quantity of controlled substances. That's official from the NYPD. The sources said the evidence seized in the raid included a large stash of cocaine. They had the Glock. Yeah, Glock Gen 22 and more than $3,100 in cash. I'm working from notes here. And so if this is a little disjointed, that's why. And all of the suspects, and the problem isn't that the notes were poorly written, it's just that I can't read my own handwriting. Okay. And all of the suspects were charged with second degree criminal possession of a weapon and fifth degree criminal possession of a controlled substance. Under the state's bail reform statutes, a judge can opt to set bail on the gun charge based on several factors, including criminal history and chance of rearrest, but it never came to that. According to a criminal complaint filed by the Queens DA's office the next day, the two migrants were only charged with possession of an imitation handgun, and it was just really an air gun recovered at the garage where they were arrested. Now, Nieves' charges were knocked down to fourth-degree weapons possession and seventh-degree drug possession, and he was freed on a conditional release, but with no bail. In an email, this was on Tuesday, a spokesperson for the Queens District Attorney's Office noted that the charges lodged in the complaint aren't eligible for bail under the state's criminal justice reforms. So, the spokesperson said, the DA's office reviews all evidence and charges as warranted. In this case, the weapon charged against defendant Nieves is for an unloaded firearm. Oh, good Lord. You mean that makes a difference? Doesn't just having the firearm show intent? You know, then again, I left my law degree in my other pants. And they said, our office asked for supervised release, and the judge granted supervised release. The charges against the other two defendants, Garcia and Tamaranis Caldera, are for possession of an air CO2 pistol and are not bail eligible. And this, my friend, is just another thing that Donald Trump, our president, needs to look at. I like the way M. Winger wrote this in the WLT report. Said President Donald Trump has an excellent solution to make America great again. Start by terminating every U.S. attorney appointed under the Biden administration, because nothing says there's a new sheriff in town like firing the corrupt staff from the previous administration. How true. Now, Trump is clearly, I mean, if you haven't gotten the message by now, you never will, but he's clearly dedicated to some serious deep cleaning at the Department of Justice. The old DOJ was so corrupt, and it was so obvious. Even if you were just a casual observer of politics or current events, it was so obvious the DOJ under Merrick Garland was incredibly corrupt. So how many of them thought they were untouchable? You know, that President Trump wouldn't strike back after the nonstop lawfare that was targeted against him, huh? I mean, this is why there's so much screaming and crying. I mean, my God, they're squealing like stuck pigs over there on the left now that Trump is president. And also, you know, with Pam Bondi as the new attorney general, oh, she's going to be great. And I'm really anxious to get Cash Patel into the FBI, because then things are going to start working like a finely tuned orchestra. So here's the official news from Fox. They said President Donald Trump directed the Justice Department to fire all U.S. attorneys left over from the Biden administration. See, this is something he should have done his first term. He should have fired anybody and everybody who had anything to do at all with the Obama administration. We mentioned it way back then. But anyhow, in a post on his Truth Social platform, Trump said the agency has been politicized like never before. Therefore, I've instructed the termination of all remaining Biden-era U.S. attorneys. We must clean house immediately and restore confidence. America's golden age must have a fair justice system that begins today. Terminating U.S. attorneys from previous administrations is generally, believe it or not, standard procedure. Now, last week, the White House sent termination notices to several U.S. attorneys who serve as the top federal law enforcement officials in their assigned districts, of course. And they did this all around the country, who'd been appointed by Biden. And typically, a new administration would request the resignation of a U.S. attorney being replaced rather than issuing a termination letter. Now, days after taking office, oh man, those first few days of the Trump administration, I'll bet you it would be nearly impossible to go back and document everything that was done. The man was working that quickly and was just so focused on everything. Man, he still is. But days after taking office, Trump fired several career federal prosecutors involved in cases against him. You know, don't take it personally, Donald. The hell I won't. And the employees were all people who worked on special counsel Jack Smith's investigation against Trump. And this was all over Trump's handling of classified documents and efforts to overturn his 2020 election loss. You know, just that raid on Mar-a-Lago alone would be enough for me if I were Donald Trump. Just that raid on Mar-a-Lago alone. And remember, the FBI called all the news media to make sure they were there when the FBI arrived. You know, that's not the only case where this was done. But, you know, if I were Donald Trump, oh, I would be grinding an axe so sharp, so sharp. And the axe, now that the axe is ground and it's sharpened to its optimum degree, I'd start swinging that thing and I'd keep swinging until every last one of those bastards was out of here. Let's get on over to the Comedy Corner stat, because Rocky Laporte, a very funny guy, is back.
I go to the doctor the other day. He's like, how's your hearing? I said, I go to court Tuesday. Yeah. What does he care for? Don't you hate going to the doctor? Like, they make you fill out those stupid forms, right? They're like, who should we notify in case of an emergency? I'm like, how about the doctor? How about that? There's a good place to start. And they're like, no, we mean like a parent. And I go, oh, well, they're probably just going to call the doctor. What are my parents going to do? Like, Mrs. Laporte, your son's been in an accident. And she's like, oh, give him ice cream. He really likes the ice cream. They're asking my mother for medical advice. Like, she knows what's going on. They go, is he a hemophiliac? She's like, no, we're Italian. That's what they ask you. He goes, you got a big family? I'm like, my dad's kind of fat. Yeah. Where's this going? They actually asked me this one time on a form. It goes, what year did you start high school? I'm like, freshman year. Who starts as a senior? Then they always ask you for a closest living relative. I'm like, from here or my house? And I put 4 miles. Yeah. That's good, right? Then he goes, anything running your family? I'm like, divorce and bad decisions. You can throw broken dreams in there too, Doc. You ever go up there for an exam and then you're sitting in a room naked? He comes in, he's like, put your clothes back on. I'm an eye doctor. And if you get a prescription, read the side effects. You ever do that? They gave me one. It said causes vomiting, dizziness, and chest pains. Then it said if it becomes bothersome. I don't know. Folks, I like when I'm dizzy. It keeps my mind off the fact that I'm vomiting and having chest pains.
Get on out there and make it a terrific Thursday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.